biscuits and gravy.
Hello, boys.
What does LP stand for?
Lizard people! Nazi whale margarine pirates!
So far, I've had 7 McRibs.
Bullabuck!
Pol Pot pie.
I'm the prognosticator of prognosticators!
Like a slaughterhouse sangria?
Yeah.
Good morning and aloha, Biscuiteers, to all you guys out there listening to us on the radio, watching us on TV, catching us on the podcast, and all the ships at sea. My name is Vince Fodi, and I'm going to be the conductor of the gravy train today. Filling in for Chuck Thompson, who is home recovering from his ectopic pregnancy.
Uh-oh.
Joining us in the studio today are two of our favorite guests of all time, Shaheen Nelson and Rhonda Lee Kitts. How are you guys doing today?
Just a couple of premature babies here.
So good.
It feels good to, like Vince said, you're filling in for Chuck.
Yes.
I'm filling in for you.
I'm Rhonda.
And Shane is the, you're filling Shane in is the Rhonda.
All of us are filling in. Where none of us showed up for our jobs, but showed up for somebody else's job.
Yes.
Yeah. And
how's it feel to be a Rhonda?
If I'm Rhonda, that means that Rhonda peed on the toilet seat.
I did. And if I'm Vince, then that means I feel really unhappy.
Okay. Because I just sat on the toilet seat.
I have caffeine.
Nice.
Everybody does.
Oh, you're drinking an Yerba Mate.
I've got sparkling Yerba Mate. Shane does got
is that the Costco cold brew?
Yeah.
How are they?
I've pretty decent, dude.
I've seen a lot of people getting into those recently. Are they really high on the caffeine? Did it make you jittery? How do you feel?
I feel very jittery.
I was going to say, cold brew makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it's too easy to drink. Like, I'll drink 3 or 4 of them just like that.
Okay, I don't think you're supposed to do that.
I quit drinking water.
It was just slowing me down.
Well, I mean, there's water in there.
Yeah,
water is a big component of cold brew, so you're still getting your water.
That's just how I'm alive.
Yeah, you're just getting a whole lot of caffeine too at the same time.
I can't sleep good at night.
Shane don't sleep good at night. The light's still on in my eyes.
So I haven't seen you guys in a long time. Not since last night.
Yep.
Yeah. At that open mic.
At the arguably one of the best nights of open mic comedy we've ever had. There was about 300 people in Vibe, 60 comedians. Everybody had really tight fives.
There's a theme of quiet.
Yeah. It was a really good time.
Yeah.
So if you guys aren't aware, all three of us are active Maui-based comedians. And you can catch us at some of the numerous open mics around the island, one of which is at Vibe on Tuesday nights. Starts at 8 o'clock sharp, as Shaheen mentioned in his Instagram post. That's a good time.
Last night we started at 8:40, and those two old guys did 40 minutes of music.
And they said, after a 20-minute song that was going to be their last song, they're like, looks like they got one more song. It's like, no! I was telling Shane, it was like the feeling when you're a kid and your mom runs into her friend in the grocery store and you're like, we're going to be here for hours.
You're just sitting there. Your ice cream is melting. You're like, come on.
Yeah. I'm going to definitely run away now. Do you guys ever run away as kids?
I never got far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had to go down an alley, right?
One time I tried to run away and then I realized I had too many possessions. Yeah.
You're packing and you're like, you know what?
I'm like, it's not worth it.
I don't have enough suitcases.
Yeah, for all of the belongings my loving parents bought for me.
Just going to deal with it.
Dude, my nephew ran away recently when I was visiting him. I wouldn't let him watch Star Wars because he didn't do his chores. And he's like, I'm out. And
valid.
He left for like an hour. And it was kind of like worrisome.
Under your watch?
Yeah, under my watch. And then,
that's rough.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And then I was like, the sun started going down. And I was like, wait, this dude better get back. He's like 8 years old. It's winter in Minnesota.
You start thinking it through. You're like, we don't even have milk cartons anymore. How do we find this kid?
They only have milk cartons in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, milk. Almond milk.
Milk.
Shane opens the door. It's just a, how? Like, I think my 8-year-old cousin's gone.
Is it a missing child? No, it's a mousing child.
There's wolves in the area.
Did he die?
He came back and he's never been better.
Did he see you?
Did you let him watch Star Wars?
Yeah.
Okay, like, all right, don't do that again. You just watch Star. See, he learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah, you can get what you want.
If you just run, if you just put your own life at risk.
Yeah. You just call your uncle's bluff.
Yeah.
Well, also, he was wearing, like, all black, and he was, when he left, he walked out on the road as the sun was setting. I was like, oh, he's going to get hit by a car, you know?
Gotta let him go, though.
Yeah.
Gotta let him go on his own journey, Go learn, man.
Some people have to learn the hard way. Yeah. I was one of those people where I had to learn my lessons.
Hit by a car.
I had to learn my lessons the hard way.
Really?
Yeah.
Nothing but easy lessons for me.
Yeah?
Well, yeah.
Lucky for you, Rhonda.
Life's great.
There's also another open mic on Mondays at Story.
It's great.
That's in Paia.
This last one was so good.
Yeah. I'm bummed I missed it.
I've heard that they've been pretty good lately.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for something to do on a Monday and you're in the Paia area, Story. What time does that one usually start?
7.
Yeah, and Chino is hosting that one.
Yep.
Yeah, good times.
I feel like, too, it's been a good environment for a lot more new comedians to start. Like, there's been like new good comedians. Like good new people that are like trying it out, and it's a great environment for like people that are thinking about signing up. Like,
yeah,
the crowd is very forgiving. Oftentimes, the crowd is made up of friends of somebody else that's maybe going up for the second or third time, so they're like gentle with new people.
Yeah, whereas vibe can be a little abrasive sometimes.
Tell us a joke. No, here's some random material from the bar.
But yeah, it's nice to create an environment where people feel comfortable starting their comedy career.
Yeah.
I think if it wasn't for that opening welcome environment at Stella Blues back in the day, I might not have ever tried comedy for the first time.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the harsh, cold environment of Threes, I would.
Thank goodness for Diamonds, dude. Yeah. I remember.
I remember your first set at Diamonds.
Yeah,
strange times.
Yeah,
it was a short-lived Diamonds experience
that
we did
scary.
There. I saw the most brutal heckling I've ever seen a comedian receive. It was Cool Hand Luke. He got heckled during the entire set, and then somebody brought a stack of beer coasters and was throwing coasters at him while he was on stage. It was rough.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have dealt with that.
Would you leave? You just walk off, or what do you do?
I don't know. It's like, how is the management letting this happen? Yeah. I'd be like, why is this happening to me right now? Yeah. Are there no rules?
Yeah, and it's also like, you know, if you're not doing anything, you're taking the side of the aggressor, which is the guy that's standing here trying to decapitate me with coasters.
Right.
On that note, no one would step in at Vibe. If something happened at Vibe,
nobody would step in anywhere.
Yeah. Chino wouldn't allow anything to happen under his
Chino
watch.
Wouldn't allow anything like that to happen. You mentioned that there's some good new comedians. Who was the last like really good new comedian that you remember coming up out of the Maui comedy scene?
Really good?
Well, I don't... Next question. There's a lot of good ones. There's a lot of good ones. We could list a lot of people.
There's a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
All right.
Ivan was a fun surprise when Ivan started showing up.
Once I started understanding what he was saying, I was like, he's funny.
Yeah, the first time I heard him at Gilligan's, I was like, nice. A little like something different.
Best newcomer. I'm going to give him the award for best newcomer comedian.
Jackson's up there too. He puts in the time.
He does put in the time.
Yeah.
He does, yeah.
Works
and he used to bring, for like months, he brought people, which is longer than most people bring people.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever brought anybody. I bring people to shows sometimes, but I don't really ever bring people to open mic.
For open mic, I tell people, I'm like, you can come.
You can come.
This does not count as a showing up to a comedy night.
Yes.
Yeah. I pull in that
this
when there's
also
like tickets to buy.
This also doesn't count for as me doing comedy.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to see me do comedy, come to a show.
And sometimes it doesn't count as you watching comedy, depending on who's performing. There might be a guy slapping spoons around, you know?
Yeah. There might be a 40-minute drum duo.
Yes.
So you never know.
I hate when people are like, hey, I saw you do comedy at Mulligan's 8 years ago. And you're like, no!
Maybe, I've gotten better, I swear.
Maybe it was the one... good night. Was there one?
No, it sucks when somebody only sees you do comedy one time and you beef it, and it's just like, dude,
yeah,
like I'm so much better than that. If only you could be there on like could have seen me at my best.
It's funny, your friend came last night and he didn't listen at all.
Oh, he had a great set at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever he was saying, people were dying.
He came up and he's like, am I going to get to actually see you do comedy this time? Because the last time he showed up, he left before I went up.
Well, I thought it was funny.
He's like, oh, I didn't get to see you. I'm like, yeah, because you left.
I thought it was funny because I heard him come in and say, hey, am I going to see you do comedy tonight? And then you were like, maybe. And I was like, maybe. What does that mean? Is Vince thinking about not performing tonight, which is crazy because it's such a good crowd. And
there was 300 people there.
Yeah.
That you said, right? 300, I believe?
Yeah. You said? 325. Whatever. We'll round down. But then later it's funny where it's like, oh, you must have had a feeling that the maybe was... Maybe you won't listen the whole time
that
I'm talking.
Maybe you're going to sit with your back to me talking over my entire set. We'll see, Oscar.
And every so often turn around and give you the nicest smile and thumbs up and then whip right back around to whatever's going on at the bar. As a true friend.
Happy 9/11, guys.
Happy 9/11.
Happy 9/11. I just want to say yes. What do you guys usually do to celebrate 9/11?
Remember...
Yeah, do you remember?
Have you guys ever been to Ground Zero?
No.
I've been to Ground Zero.
Yeah.
I've been to New York City.
But you didn't go there?
I went to Times Square.
Interesting. I felt emotional being at Ground Zero. I felt emotional being there.
Yeah?
I felt emotional at Times Square.
Yeah. There's all those monks trying to sell you bracelets or whatever.
Yeah, and then people in costumes and shoot. On the sidewalk.
Yeah, we went to a famous steakhouse in Times Square, and we ate
Bruce Chris.
We did eat like a giant steak, and so I felt very full in Times Square.
Mm.
I was also very full in Times Square.
And to celebrate 9/11, we're going to a barbecue dinner tonight, barbecue buffet dinner. So that's going to be a good time.
I didn't know it was a buffet. Nice.
Oh. Well, every barbecue is, right?
Yes.
I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's just like...
Every barbecue's a buffet.
Yeah.
I guess.
You get a scoop as much as you want.
Yeah, well, we're not going to like a backyard barbecue. We're going to it's going to be like a barbecue buffet. But it's at a restaurant.
BBQ.
Yeah, BBBQ.
BBBQ.
It's going to be a good time.
BBQB.
BBQB.
You should have said that.
Yeah.
BBQB. I love those.
Yeah, those are so much fun.
What's your go-to barbecue scoops? What are you going for mainly? For me, it's mac salad all day.
I think if there's going to be ribs, I'm going to try to load up on ribs. Yeah. I like ribs and... cornbread and beans and dipping the cornbread in the beans.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
It's so good. If there's coleslaw, I'm a big coleslaw guy.
What kind of bean? I like
baked beans.
I love baked beans.
With honey and
boiled beans.
Yeah.
Like some boiled beans.
Do you guys have any boiled beans in back?
Do you mind refrying these? They should take baked beans and make refried beans out of them.
Yeah.
That would be delicious.
A blend of culture.
This would be rebaked beans.
Maybe that's what will fix our problems.
Baked beans.
Yeah, they'd be rebaked.
Wait, no. Did you guys ever mistake the Twin Towers and the Two Towers? Would you get those mixed up?
Like
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
In Lord of
Is Sauron okay when I heard the news?
I think that was like a common mistake back in the early 2000s, especially when because the Two Towers movie came out in the early 2000s, right?
Yeah, I heard they had to change the scene. They had a scene where the birds were hitting the towers.
The eagles were hitting the towers.
We got to edit that up.
There was a lot of editing that had to take place.
Like Spider-Man?
Spider-Man, yeah. This was something that I had sent Shane. I don't know if you ever saw it. The original trailer...
No, you didn't send it to me.
The original trailer for the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie was...
The best Spider-Man movie.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's one of the best Spider-Man movies.
I like the Tobey Maguire's up there, and then I like the Spider-Verse, the
one with all of them.
You're a Spider-Verse.
No, the one that Enter the Spider-Verse, the cartoon
one. Enter the Spider-Verse
one, I like
was really good. I also liked the third Spider-Man in the new series, the one that had all the three different Spider-Men in it, mm-hmm. where it had Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire came back.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
It's hard to not like that one.
Yeah, it feels like you're just
it's
giving
like
me
a buffet.
A buffet of spiders.
And then... Spider-Men.
A buffet of spiders and a buffet of men.
And also the second,
yes, please.
The second Tobey Maguire one with Doc Ock was really good, too.
Yeah, that was great.
I would say that rivaled the first one as far as how good it was. But then the third one was like, ugh.
Yeah.
They really dropped the ball on the third one. But there's the original trailer that came out for the first Spider-Man movie had a scene where these guys are robbing banks and then they get into a helicopter and fly away. And all of a sudden, the helicopter stops. And then it pans out, and you see that the helicopter is stuck in a giant spider web. And then it pans out even more to reveal that the helicopter is stuck in a giant spider web between the two Twin Towers.
Wow.
Whoa.
The thing we needed was Spider-Man.
So that scene got deleted, and then they refilmed it. There was a lot of stuff, too, like the end of Fight Club shows buildings being like imploded.
Yeah, like
could
be
the
grounded.
Yeah, and then for a long time, Blockbuster took Fight Club off the shelves for a while, so you couldn't watch Fight Club. It was weird. Yeah, I know. That was probably the worst thing that happened.
Join like a secret club to watch Fight Club?
Or just get the book and flip all the way to the last page.
Actually, I don't know if you've ever read the Fight Club book. It's almost the exact same thing as the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the movie is the exact same.
They did a really great job adapting the movie from the book because it's literally almost exactly the same. Yeah. There's like one scene in the book that doesn't appear in the movie.
Yeah.
It's literally like word for word. It's great.
Very, very similar. You know what wasn't? Was The Shining.
Oh, yeah. Stanley Kubrick and Stephen King actually had a long-term beef because of that, because they really did not like each other.
I listened to the audiobook of The Shining, and Stephen King has like an intro that he records of his own voice, and he's like, and it's essentially along the lines of, "This is my Shining." There's the movie,
which is
and
great,
that
and everyone
is
loves.
Someone else's thing,
The Shining.
Yeah, it was like
that's
a very
not my The Shining.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you guys this: do you guys have memories of 9/11? What are your memories of when 9/11 happened?
Yeah, I was young.
Rhonda, you're a little bit younger.
I was born in 95, so I was 6. I remember my dad coming home from work early. And I was like, yeah! This is a great day! And then he was like, bad stuff happened. And we like watched on TV, and I was like, when's dinner?
So it didn't really, you weren't really old enough for it to have an impact
for the
on
listeners
you.
Who are feel like I'm insensitive. I was 6 and over the coming like months was like, this was like a big thing. But also I grew up in Oregon. It was like very far away, you know.
And were your dad coming home early was a good thing, because for me a lot of times I would get in trouble. And then it would be like, wait till your dad gets home.
Mm, yeah.
My dad coming home early was not always a great thing for me.
Yeah, this day I remember it being good and then being like, why are we crying?
Yeah, daddy's home early. What's so sad?
Yeah. I remember it being a notable day. And then, in the weeks after being like, this is like a serious thing. But again, very...
Like, we're still doing this?
Yeah.
That's how I felt during the O.J. Simpson trial, where I'm like, we're still doing this?
That was so long.
It took forever. Yeah. And I remember like just wanting to watch TV, and like my parents are watching the trial, and I'm like, I don't like this. It's boring.
Yeah.
I didn't know who O.J. Simpson was. Yeah. I just want to watch cartoons, and it's like everybody's talking about this, and you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
I was in North Dakota at the time, and I remember everyone being like, they're going for the Garrison Dam next. And I was like, I don't think so.
That's really cute. So they're like, us next.
Yeah, okay. They're coming.
Even at that age, you were skeptical.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think we're on the top of the radar for war.
I would love to see a terrorists list.
North Dakota.
Where does the North Dakota, what is it, a bridge?
The Garrison Dam.
A dam.
Where does the dam lie on the list?
Now, the Garrison Dam should be pretty low on the list, but I will say North Dakota has some of the most nuclear asylums of any state. So they are kind of,
Nuclear silos?
Silos. There we go.
Okay.
asylums.
Hey,
nuclear asylums.
You know what we don't have is good education.
That's why you have to end up in the asylum. Nuclear asylum.
Mental radioactive nerds.
I think that's what happened to Joker, right?
So are they underground?
They're underground.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of like sensitive nuclear stuff is built inside mountains and underground, so that like for that exact reason, so stuff like that can't happen to it.
Yeah,
but I mean, I was in Philadelphia at the time, and even in Philadelphia, we're like, yeah, I mean, like we're a big city and everything, but I don't think they're gonna like
shoot the Liberty Bell.
Yeah, it's already cracked. What else are you gonna do to it, guys?
Crack it the rest of the way.
By the way, welcome to the 9/11 spectacular episode.
Would have loved a heads up about that.
We loved. one of the reasons why we always talk about it on the Biscuits and Gravy show is because it's like the number one, besides the JFK assassination, mm-hmm. yeah. when it comes to conspiracy yeah. theories, 9/11 is like one of the most, I would say, fertile for yeah. 9/11 conspiracies.
Yeah.
Do you guys know about any 9/11 conspiracies?
Well, I know that they, like, looking at the footage, they say that, like, the buildings, like, kind of like a Fight Club, like, imploded from the ground as opposed to, like, going down from being hit
right,
from
that,
above.
That was a big one. I mean, like, a lot of the conspiracy theories have been pretty
that it
thoroughly
was an inside
debunked,
job.
That it was an inside job, that there was some sort of demolition that happened. Mm. One of the early ones was that George Bush's brother owned a construction company, and they had access to the buildings like the week before 9/11. So there was a conspiracy theory that they planted a lot of explosives and that it was like actually imploded instead of falling down.
What's the building next to it? Building 7?
World Trade Center 7. That's actually...
That's pretty suspicious looking.
That's one of the ones that's still being debated, because the NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology...
NIST.
They did a study that said that like it fell apart because of a fire. But then there was like other engineering firms that looked at that and said like it was impossible. Because the reason that the World Trade Center's, the Twin Towers, fell down was because there was structural damage done to it and the fire and everything. But World Trade Center 7, nothing hit it. It just caught fire and then it like fell down from the fire. And it was the first and last time that like a steel building fell down and collapsed because of a fire alone. And then there's also like, what were they trying to hide? Turns out that the CIA had an office in World Trade Center 7 as well. So it's like, oh, were they trying to get rid of all the documents that were in the CIA office, you know?
I just feel like there'd be easier ways to like clear out a floor's worth of information.
Yeah, you just shred it.
Yeah, I'm like,
they've done that before.
Like, you just send a guy, a janitor in the night, and they yeah. throw it in a trash can and leave. We all know that.
Oh, I think we're getting a phone call.
Hold on.
Good morning and aloha, Biscuitier. You're live on the radio.
Hello. How's it going? It's your favorite president.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey, President
Trumpy.
Trump. How are you doing? Happy 9/11.
How are you feeling, Trump, after last night? That was kind of a... That was a little tough, huh?
Got a little debate hangover going?
Yeah. You feeling a little sore?
Look, Kamala and I went toe-to-toe on the debate stage, but then we slept toe-to-toe. After the most night of lovemaking, the likes of never seen.
Okay. Oh, from toe to toe to cheek to cheek.
Wow.
Who's the big spoon?
So are you at the 9/11 memorial right now?
No, I didn't go this time. I've been a few times. It's kind of overplayed.
Okay. And I know that 9/11 was a special day for you, because that was the day where you went on TV and bragged that now the Trump Tower was the tallest building in Manhattan.
And it was, and that was such a glorious day for me. And I just want to thank the Israelis for doing what they did on 9/11.
Okay,
oh,
all right.
My God.
We're going to cut them off right there. We don't need to throw more conspiracy theories onto the fire. One of the reasons why 9/11 is so great for conspiracy theories is
because of all the losers and the haters.
All the losers and the haters, first of all, but also because of all the fallout and stuff that happened afterwards, like us invading Iraq and us invading Afghanistan, when it turned out that Iraq and Afghanistan had nothing to do with it. Do you guys know about like the 9/11 commission report and the 28 redacted pages?
I wrote it.
Oh yeah. All right, so you know what was in the redacted pages, right?
That we had the warning.
That was one of the conspiracies, was that we knew that the Bush administration had previous knowledge that Bin Laden was trying to attack, and either through incompetence they were not able to stop it, or that they actually kind of let it happen because, you know, it would be good for business.
It's not like they're gonna like fly a plane in to New York City or anything.
But then the 9/11 commission report had 28 pages redacted from it by the Bush administration, and we found out later that those 28 pages revealed that the Saudis played a large role in financing the 9/11
attacks.
They
were able to re-redact
and training
to unredact the pages.
That was what got released to the public and to Congress, and everybody was like, can we see the other 28 pages? And the Bush administration was like, no, we can't really let you see that because it showed how the Saudis were involved, and like 11 of the 14 hijackers ended up being Saudis. And it turns out that the Bush administration and the Bush family have close ties to the Saudis, so they didn't really want that information being out there. And also, not only did they have close ties to the Saudis, but the Bush administration and the Bush family themselves have close ties to the Bin Laden family as well.
Hmm.
Isn't that fun? Yeah, it's all...
So they didn't need all of those redacted pages. You just need to go to the Bush family Christmas card mailing list.
Exactly. Yeah. You'd be like, oh, look at all these Bin Ladens that are on there. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, they have direct ties through George H.W. Bush, who, by the way, was the former head of the CIA. Turns out that he was also the head of the Carlyle Group, which was like a defense investment contracting company. And then when it turned out that the Bin Ladens were like big investors in the Carlyle Group, then he ended up having to step down. And the Saudis were also big investors in that. And then after 9/11 happened, we ended up going to war, not against Saudi Arabia, who were behind it. We went to war with Afghanistan and Iraq. And because...
I do that all the time.
Because
when
the Carlyle
Group... When I'm
really
mad at somebody, it's just... I'm like, I'm going to take this out on someone.
You got to take it out on somebody, you know?
There is going to be a victim here.
And because the Carlyle Group was a defense investment contracting company, they ended up, after we ended up going to war with Iraq, they made hundreds of millions of dollars. And so the Bush administration, the Bush family, and all the Saudis and the Bin Laden family directly profited from the 9/11 attacks.
And Dick Cheney with Halliburton.
As a matter of fact, Dick Cheney personally had a connection to the Saudis because while he was the CEO of Halliburton, the Saudis gave hundreds of millions of dollars to Halliburton as a company in investments. So he had a direct tie to that as well. Yeah, it's just, it didn't really look great for them.
You know, the only people coming out on top in all of this, the lizard people,
exactly.
Well, technically coming out on bottom.
Yeah.
Underground, but
well,
yeah.
You can't spell Carlyle without Lyle. And who is Lyle? A crocodile.
Whoa.
What are crocodiles?
They lie.
Lizards. And they lie, exactly.
How many crocodile people you got in those radioactive asylums underground?
Too many. And also, lizards, like geckos, Geico, insurance.
Insurance. Larry Silverstein took out,
wouldn't it be
took
a
out
shame?
An insurance plan, a multi-billion-dollar insurance policy on the Twin Towers less than 2 months before the towers fell.
You need some insurance.
It made over $3 billion.
Wouldn't it be a shame if something terrible happened in these towers?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's all coming together here,
and
folks.
Then Garrison Dam is next.
Yeah. It only took 23 years, but we're finally getting to the bottom of it. All right. Now, let's lighten the mood a little bit, guys. You want to play a game?
Why was 9 afraid of 11?
Because 11 ate 9. Yeah, in honor of our 9/11 spectacular, today we're going to play a little game called 9 or 11.
Wow. Oh, nice.
That was close.
9 or 11 is brought to us by Condoleezza's Rice. It'll advocate war crimes against hunger.
And Chris Brown's batteries. Get charged with batteries from Chris Brown.
And by Tom Hanks' Lamb Shanks. They're in a league of their own. For a limited time, catch them if you can. They're big.
That's the best thing about Tom Hanks' Lamb Shanks. They're big.
Jason Bateman's fishing supplies. A master fisherman needs a master bait, man.
And, of course, 9 or 11 wouldn't be possible without the support of John Hamm's pork products. If it's not ham, it's not pork.
And don't forget Scarlett Johansson's stationery. Make every letter a scarlet letter.
All right, so where's the bell at? Oh, yeah, all right. Rhonda's got the bell. Okay, so today we're going to play a game called 9 or 11. And I'm going to let you guys ring in. I'm actually going to keep score this week, too. We're going to do something that we've never done before. We're going to keep score here, okay? So you guys
should
gonna
do what Chuck does and grab a giant block of wood to smash my hand when I go.
So I'm going to read you a clue, and you have to tell me if the answer is 9 or 11.
Okay.
All right? And if you ring in and you get it wrong, the other person gets the point automatically.
Okay.
All right? So here we go, 9 or 11. First clue. This is the number of months for the average pregnancy.
9.
9
yes.
is correct.
I had a 50-50 chance.
This is one of the possible values for an ace in blackjack.
11?
11 is correct. Very good. This is the smallest number with 3 syllables. Who rang in?
He did, but he can't think. 11.
11.
Okay. What are you? What is it? You rang in, but you.
I was counting syllables.
How much time do you get to answer? You just ring and stare into space. Right. I get that one right.
No, we're gonna call that a tie. You both get a point for that one. Yeah. This is German for no.
9.
9. Very good. This is the name of a Blink-182 album.
11.
No,
9?
That's
I don't know.
9. No. Shane gets the point.
Gosh,
this is the name of a character in Stranger Things.
11.
Correct. 11. This is a square number.
9?
9 is correct. Very good.
I don't
good.
Even know what that means.
Okay. A square number is a number that is the
it
result
doesn't look like a square.
A,
3
a
squared.
Being squared.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, 3 squared.
Squared
is
number. I think it's a square number.
It is a square number.
A square number.
A square number is as the result of a number having been squared.
We could put add it to the Louise
listen,
thing.
I can't lose this thing.
This is the name of a song by Primus.
11.
That's correct. Very good. Rhonda takes the lead. This is the first word in Trent Reznor's band's name. Trent Reznor's band.
Do you want to guess? 9.
9 is correct. Trent Reznor.
50-50.
The lead singer of Nine Inch Nails.
Oh.
In the movie about the fictional band Spinal Tap, they have amps that go up to this.
11.
That is correct. They have amps that go up to 11. This is the number of lives a cat has.
9.
9.
I got it first. You literally smashed my hand down.
But my finger hit this.
My hand was here. And
is it button or bell?
He smashed my hand down.
I'm going to give you guys both. Well, you both yelled out the answer, too, at the same time, too. So I'm going to give you both a point for
that. Do you even have a cat, Rhonda?
I don't have workman's comp, which I'm going to file for my hand injury.
This is the atomic number for sodium.
You can't just hover your hand over. 11?
11 is correct. Very good.
You can't guess.
You can't guess correctly. When you're happy, you're said to be on this cloud.
9.
9. Very good. Well, I can't believe you let Rhonda steal that from
no,
you.
No, I swept my hand.
Yeah, you can't do this.
She got you right, just hover.
She got right in there.
Bring down the smash.
So it was my energy that rang the bell. You just had your hand here.
No, I went like this.
No, you were right there, and I pushed your hand into it. I would like 2 points.
Wouldn't we all?
This is the current version of Windows.
11.
That's correct. Very good, Shane.
He almost had a blackout moment there.
This is the number of players on a soccer team. Who rang
11?
In?
11?
Did you ring in?
Yeah.
That is correct. It was 11. Very good. Pluto was once this number planet.
9.
Yeah, I know all about Pluto.
That's my favorite planet.
Once. No longer a planet.
It is a planet again.
Oh, yeah. They replanetized it?
Yes.
Okay, good to know. This number is a prime number.
9.
Wrong. It's 11. Rhonda, not great on math skills.
I'm terrible.
Okay. Do you know what a prime number is?
Shane
must know because he got the point.
Well, it can be something that can be squared, right?
That's why I said it. That's a square number.
Not
okay.
Even close. All right. This was the first NASA mission to land on the moon. It was Apollo
11.
11. Very good. Apollo 11 was the first one to land on the moon. This was the number of rings gifted to the race of men.
You got
9.
9 is correct. Very good, Shane. Ooh, here's a good one. The Canadian flag maple leaf has this many points on it.
9.
No, it was 11.
Really?
That's
a lot of points.
I know. I was surprised. And then if you look at it, it has 11, not including the stem. Well, that was 9 or 11. And our winner is... Man, it was a close one, but it's going to be Rhonda.
Yeah.
Rhonda won by 2.
I only lost a fingernail.
Rhonda won by 2. Very good.
I hit her hand every time.
It's just like playing with Chuck.
Yeah.
I don't have a mallet.
You can be faster, but you're going to pay for it.
Final score was 10 to 12. Very close game today, guys. Wow. Very good.
I wish one of us got we could have easily been 9 and 11.
Yeah,
if our scores. Did you plan that?
I didn't plan on being forced to award tie points. But there was 9 clues where the answer was 9 and 11 clues where the answer was 11.
Whoa.
Of course there was.
There's so many like little things like that match up that make it seem like it's not real. Like, what's the chance you would be a twin?
50-50.
Twin Towers.
Twin Towers.
Oh.
You know the best way to celebrate 9/11 on Maui? Go to Twin Falls.
Oh. Lay in the twin bed.
There you go.
I used to lay in the twin bed and wonder where my brother was.
9 or 11 was brought to us by Mark Ruffalo's Buffalo Wings, the best way to cure a Hulk-sized appetite.
And Anthony Hopkins' Golden Towers, when you need a tower that's full of gold.
And by Dwayne Johnson's Wholesale Seafood. It isn't a rock, it's a rock lobster.
Are we just making things 9/11 theme now? Today's show is brought to us by Jude Law's 9/11. The 9/11 is on your side.
And World Trade Center subs, when you need a sub that goes down easy.
Okay.
Nice. And by Kenny Loggins Cybersecurity. Where was he on 9/11?
That's what I want to know. He put the Twin Towers in the danger zone. All right. Now, I'm feeling hungrier than a Haitian immigrant in Springfield.
Because you're sitting in Chuck's seat.
So let's talk about Gluttony Club. This week, Shane and I did something very special. We went to Gather on Maui, which is a restaurant located in the heart of McKenna, and we did a 10-patty smash burger challenge.
10-patty smash.
You may have seen said burgers on Instagram, and when you look at them on Instagram, It doesn't look like it's edible.
And if you want to see them on Instagram, how you find them is you go to Rhonda.handsome. You go to my followers list. I follow both Shane and Vince, and then they're both on there, and both of them posted
photos. Yeah, so you can find Rhonda at Rhonda.handsome. Shane, you're at...
Dude_dog_hi.
And then we also have the Ono Eats Maui has an Instagram page as well where you can check that out. And Ono Eats Maui is our YouTube channel, and we'll have a video of us eating the burger coming out soon.
I was going to ask if you guys had a video coming out for the Tower of Burger.
Yes.
The Twin Towers of Burgers.
The Twin Towers of Burgers.
Whoa,
what's
the chance?
Wow.
I wish we were funded by the Saudis.
Scratch that.
I'd feel like a regular Jared Kushner.
This is a comedic podcast for the listeners driving.
But, I mean, if they offered us money.
Oh. Yeah. I'd take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show is sponsored by them.
Today's show is brought to us by the Saudis.
9/11 special.
What are the odds that the Twin Towers would look like the number 11?
So how do you...
And 9/11 is 911, which is the number you call in emergencies.
And you took yours down, and a little bit later, mine went down.
Yeah, that's true.
How?
It's a couple minutes apart.
How do you?
We both finished
that.
Both of ours. So I'm glad you asked, Ron.
Yeah,
that's a great question.
Because I'm picturing the picture I saw, but for the listeners at home, it's a tall. Not to get into measurements again on
it's
at least
like
10 inches tall.
Yeah.
It
was a big burger.
Yeah.
And so
one bun on either side.
You can't pick it up and eat it like a regular burger. The best way to do it is the way I tackled it was I took the bun and like the first three patties off the top and kind of ate that like an open-faced triple patty burger.
So you're really making the bun last, because there's only for all 10 patties, there's only the two buns.
Yeah. And so I ate the bun and like the first three patties together. Then I ate a couple
a la carte,
two or three three burger patties at a time, and then like the last three burger patties in the bottom bun I ate together. That's pretty much what you did.
That's exactly what I did.
Were you taking notes from him?
Or
did you have a theory already on how to do it?
I had a game plan going in, like, to separate the patties for heat, but also...
Right, that was another big thing, is that if you're trying to do it in a certain amount of time, we weren't really racing, but we were trying to... We wanted to make sure that we finished it, but we didn't want to take forever. And so if you're trying to eat something fast, those burger patties are coming off the grill. They're super hot. So once you get through it, you got to take some of the burger patties apart and let them cool off.
You're supposed to dip
it
in water, and then it helps it slide down your gullet.
Diet Coke saved me for sure.
Yeah, Diet Coke helped a lot.
Also,
the water method is more for making it easier to eat buns, but there was definitely way more patty than bun, so we didn't really have to dip it too much. But drinking the Diet Coke definitely helped a lot with like cooling it down
and start digesting it in your mouth too.
Helping you burp too, because like it's just like meat and cheese
and energy too, caffeine, keep this train going,
because sometimes your jaw gets tired from expending all that jaw energy.
I watched the video, and there's like 3 minutes in, Chrissy's like, I think Vince is winning, and you could see me hear it in the video, and I look at Vince and I start eating faster.
You're like, oh no. But we will have the video coming up for that pretty soon. And like I say, the burger, I mean, I felt really full afterwards, but it was a really delicious burger as well.
It was a very good burger.
Yeah, I've had burgers from there before, and it's got a special sauce on there. It's really tasty.
Yeah, you're like, I have a coupon for one free burger.
For one free gigantic burger.
And this is the one I would want.
I want all of the burgers.
It's embarrassing, but I relapsed last night, and I got another burger. And I was eating it, and I was like, this is too soon.
Even your stomach is like, what?
Are you trying to have a good time?
You can't treat me like this.
On the way home, Diana was like, I kind of want to go to McDonald's. She's like, do you want to go to McDonald's? I was like, no. No, I don't.
No, I know you just sat there and watched me eat a tower of cheeseburgers, but shut up about having a snack, okay?
Also, on another 9/11 note, I just want to, like, in addition to the four planes that went down in the 9/11 attacks, did you know that there was also five other independent plane crashes that happened on the date 9/11 over the years? Between like 1960 and 2001, there had been five other plane crashes that took place on the date 9/11.
Just like normal malfunctions?
Just like normal plane crashes that happened on 9/11. And one of them crashed in South Carolina and had Stephen Colbert's father and brother on it. So Stephen Colbert lost two family members in a plane crash that took place on 9/11 in like 1979.
Well, I would be curious if you're... Next time you want to do your fun research stuff, research what day of the year, because 9/11 has that quantity over the course. What day of the year has the most?
I actually did try to research
it.
And as far as I could tell, 9/11 does have the most. There's a couple outliers, like I think April 3rd or April 4th has like three of them. And there was a day in November that had like three, but over the course of years, where it's like that specific day of the year happened to have multiple plane crashes that took place on different years.
Yeah,
and as far as I can tell, the five that took place independently of 9/11 plus the four that happened on 9/11 has to be. I think it's the most.
Really, though? I mean, there's like the...
What about April 1st? I bet people are always calling their level, my plane's going down.
April Fool's.
Or they like the pilot shuts off the engine. Just kidding. Oh, wait. But what about the times where there's accidents like at the Blue Angels or whatever, like the sky shows and stuff, where then there'd be like multiple planes crashing at one time, or mid-air collisions happen all the time too. That's one of the like highest causes.
Yeah, like Tenerife, the most deadliest plane crash of all time was from two fully loaded like 747s crashing into each other.
Yeah, that's like one of them
in Tenerife.
Mid-air collisions. So then that's already two in one day.
Yeah, that's already two. But I don't think you're gonna be able to beat
five. Not,
to beat five
in one day
plus four
in one day.
There was four in 9/11 plus five other ones, so I mean, like, it's got to be the outlier for sure.
I don't know. I'll look it up.
So Biscuit, yeah.
Or you look it up.
No, don't make me do it.
Go look it up. You love it.
Also, when it comes to being gluttonous, we should mention that a couple months ago where we talked about the matchup between Joey Chestnut and Takeru Kobayashi, who Takeru Kobayashi, one of my favorite professional eaters of all time. And they finally had a rematch. I don't know if you guys know that there was like a long-standing rivalry between the two of them. Were you aware?
No. Nope. Well, you said those names and I just assumed they were
friends of mine.
No, porn actors.
No, Takeru Kobayashi was a guy who he kind of like changed the world of competitive eating.
Porn is a different type of competitive eating when you think about it.
And then right around the time that he got banned from competitive eating.
Why?
He got banned from the Nathan's Hot Dog competition because he refused to sign a contract with MLE, which is Major League Eating, who runs the Nathan's Hot Dog eating competition. He didn't want to sign a contract and be exclusive to them, so they wouldn't let him compete anymore. And right around the time that he got kicked out of the Nathan's Hot Dog competition, Joey Chestnut was also starting to make a name for himself. And they had competed a couple times before, but they never really got to compete when they were both in their heyday. And one year, Takeru Kobayashi showed up and he tried to rush the stage and he got arrested. And then like another year, he put on his own hot dog eating competition across the street from Nathan's Hot Dog on like a rooftop same time.
Nice and petty.
He actually ate more than Joey Chestnut did that day, but they never really got to compete head to head again. And so because Joey Chestnut recently just got banned from the Nathan's Hot Dog competition because he signed a contract with Impossible Meats, who they make the vegetarian hot dogs, then he got banned from Nathan's as well. And Netflix decided to, on Labor Day, run a special where they would have the two of them compete, and like they called it Unfinished Beef. And so they competed, and Joey Chestnut broke his former world record of 76, which he said in 2021, he ate 83 hot dogs.
Damn.
In how long?
In 10 minutes. Yeah. Yeah, he's really an incredible athlete. Takeru Kobayashi only ate 67.
Boo.
So I think Takeru is past his prime.
Well, it sounds like he was preparing. He got to 60, or you said 77?
He ate 67.
Oh, he didn't even get to the
previous world record. Yeah,
I thought you said 77. I'm like, oh, he's just really preparing to eat one more.
One more.
But no, he was 11 less.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was expecting Joey Chestnut to beat his previous record.
I wasn't.
By 7 hot dogs.
I definitely was.
I mean,
not.
76 hot dogs is a lot of hot dogs.
Imagine Joey Chestnut driving home afterwards, and his wife's like, "Hey, you want to stop and get a hot dog?"
He's like, "No." No, I don't. But also, friend of the show, Chuck Thompson, a name that we haven't heard in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't seen him around in a while.
And hasn't called in a long time. He texted, though.
He was also in a hot dog eating competition.
I saw that.
In Connecticut.
Yeah.
He took second place. So congratulations, Chuck. We're
Good
a
job,
big
Chuck.
Fan.
How many people were competing?
Two.
I know it's probably a conspiracy theory, but do you guys notice that Chuck left around the same time that those astronauts went to space?
Maybe Chuck's in space right
Chuck's
now.
Chuck's stuck in space.
That's why he hasn't come home when he anticipated, because he's stuck out there.
Yeah, he keeps saying, "I'll be back next week.
I'll be back next week. I'm really coming home, you guys."
Ground control to Major Chuck.
And there's one other quick thing I gotta mention for Biscuits and/or Gravy News. For Biscuits and/or Gravy News, while we were away, we were off for 2 weeks. But while we were gone, the Gravy Wrestling World Championships took place in England. They take place every year in Lancashire, England. And the winner this year was, for the guys, it was George Young who won. It was actually his first time competing.
It was a man.
And he won. He won the guys' competition. And then the girls' competition was won by Christine Rogers.
Then they should pair them, the two
imagine,
winners.
Yeah, imagine the kid they'd have.
And then Battle of the Sexes.
They fall in love.
Oh, you mean they should have
the
a
gravy.
Kid together?
Yeah. It's a hot dog.
Yeah. Yeah, he gives her the baby gravy.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
They should mix the competitions, the hot dog eating and then the gravy wrestling.
Yeah.
And then be like, once you finish eating 79 hot dogs, it's like time to wrestle. Don't, if you barf,
that's
you lose.
How you explode.
That sounds fun.
And so that takes place every year in Stacksteeds in England, which is in Lancashire County. They use 800 liters of gravy for the gravy wrestling competition.
Wow.
And if you're watching us on TV right now, there's actually, we usually have footage of gravy wrestling in the background. playing side by side. Isn't that fun?
Is that from The Thing?
All right. Yeah, that's from the World Wrestling Gravy Competition from a couple years ago. That's not.
Oh,
from,
that girl's so much bigger than the other girl.
That just didn't look like year. England.
It's all for fun. Guys.
That's not. She's holding her by her hair.
She doesn't look like. She doesn't look like she's English.
Ooh. If the people listening at home are expecting something proper, this looks like.
That's horribly violent, and she's way over that girl's weight class.
She just freaking suplexed her.
There should be weight classes in gravy wrestling.
Suplexed her?
Very good. Rhonda gets a point.
Can I say, too, that Corky is traveling the world right now?
Oh, yeah. We could actually do a real Where in the World is Corky.
The first time we don't do Where in the World is Corky is when she has actually left.
And then I did want to do a quick spoiler alert. I mean, you know what? I don't know if you guys have ever seen Fahrenheit 9/11 by Michael Moore. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
It's been a long time.
I can't remember if I have either.
The government is covering up that documentary. They put it where no one will ever see it. It's available to stream on Peacock. Which Rhonda has, so you could go home and watch it today.
Yeah.
So
watch all six seasons of the Superfan episodes of The Office.
Yeah, watch the expanded edition of The Office.
Once you finish that... Watch Real Housewives of Orange County, and then watch
If you've never seen Fahrenheit 9/11, it's a really great eye-opening documentary about all the connections that Bush has to the Saudis and the Bin Laden family and all that fun stuff. So go watch that. Also, if you don't have Peacock, the whole thing's available on YouTube. So go check it out there. And if you have Disney Plus, that Jim Henson documentary is super good as well. Yeah, just watch that. It won a couple technical Emmys, and I think it's a shoe-in for the best documentary this year. So we'll see.
Either way, you can watch a movie about puppets.
Yes, either way, it's going to be fun. All right. Now it's time for Chuck's Stuff Knowledge Buffalo. Chuck's on vacation, so we're going to do Rhonda Hanson's Knowledge Mansion. Rhonda Kitt's Knowledge Pit.
Nice.
You're gonna fall
Come
into
Come on it. Down to the knowledge pit.
we're gonna do some gravy wrestling in the knowledge pit. Yeah. Or Shahane's brain drain.
Alright,
so our first question comes from Megan in Bend, Oregon. Megan wants to know, James Earl Jones passed away just recently. How old was James Earl Jones?
93.
That's correct. Very good. Nick in Charlotte, North Carolina wants to know, during the 9/11 attacks, where did the four planes crash? There's four planes that went down on 9/11. Where did they crash?
The World Trade Center.
Two of them were in the Twin Towers.
The Pentagon.
Yeah.
Field.
Third one, I'm going to give to you, it was a field. Yeah. It went down in a field outside of, on its way to the Capitol. It went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Because Mark Wahlberg was on it.
Mark Wahlberg kicked everyone's butt. And our third question is always a sports question,
right?
Because, as you know, sports is Chuck's Achilles hoof. This one comes from Olivia in Coola. Olivia wants to know, what NBA player does the night-night gesture? Does night-night.
Oh, Curry.
Yeah, Steph Curry. He does the night-night.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
good.
You could
just ask the question, name an NBA player.
Name an NBA player.
Give me about 10 minutes.
Well, you got 3 out of 3, so very good, guys.
Yay.
And we want to thank you for being on our show, and that also means that that's the end of our show today.
Gravy.
Happy 9/11, everybody. Go celebrate by watching Fahrenheit 9/11 and eating some barbecue. We're going to have a great barbecue today.
Yay. Remember, every barbecue is a buffet.
And I want to thank my guests, Rhonda Lee Kitts and Shahane Nelson, for being on the show today. And from me to you, hello!
Ha 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 ha!
Gravy!